What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It is May 13th, 2026. We're recording this on Monday, it's May 12th, 2026. Sorry, we normally record these on Mondays now, but we didn't this week. It's Tuesday, May 12th, 2026. We're coming to you from about 5 hours in the past. It's noon on the West Coast as we sit here to record this. I'm Trey. That's Mark. How you doing, Mark?
Good, man. Yeah, you and Matt were gracious enough to move the recording time because I spent Sunday afternoon when I usually be prepping the show at a friend's Irish wake. So that was a weird good time. So before we get to the show, I just want to talk about this for a minute because it's really fucking funny. It's been raining in Iran. And one thing I want, like, you know, geography is a way, God's way of teaching Americans. War is God's way of teaching Americans geography, that whole thing.
Right.
Well, in some ways, learning about other, like, war is the only way we learn about other cultures and realize, like, how deeply we are all the same, which is an ironic, like effect of a war. But, like, so the Iran, let's talk about Iranian conspiracy theories for a second.
Okay. This sounds fun.
Yeah. It's been raining in Iran. Okay. Which is important because they've been suffering from a really intense drought for years to the point there was like, discussion of moving the capital, moving the government from Tehran to a place that was going to continue to have water.
Were the Jews keeping them from having rain?
Here's what you might be interested to learn, Trey.
I mean, we're talking about conspiracy theories. It's usually Jews. Yeah. Also, we're talking about the Middle East, so I didn't know, you know.
Yeah, so just then the guess. War happened, and then Iran blew up a bunch of American and Israeli satellite arrays, and then boom, it started raining.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, there's weather machine video, like, there's just weather machine videos all over the Persian and Middle Eastern internet now, where everyone's convinced that what had happened was the satellite arrays were what was keeping us raining in Iran, you know, the dastardly Jews and Americans, the CIA and Mossad.
Right.
And now, obviously, they have freed themselves of the bondages of the weather machines. I was just thinking about how funny it'd be to make like a handshake meme with like an Ayatollah and like a guy from Florida and Oakley's in a Bass Pro Shop hat, like agreeing that like over the Jewish space lasers.
Yeah, Jews control the weather. Yeah. Yeah. There you could, I used to have a bit about how those two guys you just described would agree on more things than people think, you know, but then I saw a bunch of other people do versions of that over the years too. So I finally just let it go. But yeah, they're not so different. They and them. that saying doesn't work as well when you're not saying you and I feel like.
All over the world, we all agree we're beleaguered by the unseen forces that are holding us all down and oppressing us. We just need to decide who they are and then, I guess, kill them all. I don't fucking know. But, like, so the funny part here is, like, Iran tried cloud seeding last fall, and, of course, it didn't work that well because it doesn't work. So I guess the conclusion everyone's coming to is that our weather machines beat Iran's weather machines and a weather machine off or something.
Until they now blew our weather machines up.
Right. Yeah.
Makes sense to me. All right, let's get into it. We're not doing the plugs here anymore, so that means we're just getting started. To get into the, you know, all the silliness with gerrymandering and the dismantling of the Voting Rights Act and all that fun stuff, the future of the country and everything. But first, the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Today's DD, the government for finally coming clean about aliens, but only as part of a cover-up of U.S. involvement in a war with demons.
God is the creator of the universe. He's never not going to create. So it's always been something in my mind to say, well, how can we be the only ones? Like, God's not going to stop creating just with us. But the more I look into this, the more I see the Old Testament and what was told to us there of fallen angels and Nephilim. Yeah. I mean, this is in the Bible. There's nothing that says that fallen angels, that Nephilim just disappeared. And so I believe that this could be an aspect of it. You know, there.
So that's Congresswoman Lauren Boebert talking about the latest Pentagon disclosures about their alien files.
Right. Before we continue, I did a few things about that. First, it's funny. It's fun to me to imagine that first thing she said about, like, God having multiple bites at the apple when it comes to, like, creating species and running the show and stuff. Like, I'd like to know if we are, you know, if we were, like, God's, like, beta testing program or if we're, like, his Blue Ribbon project, or if he's like, yeah, I was working out the kinks with that one. He's moved. It would make sense to me if God had long since moved on to some other civilization and abandoned us entirely, because that is sort of how it feels to me. But also, and I said this before, because someone else, I don't remember who, but someone else, you brought up fucking Tim Burchett maybe, or somebody like that. Mm-hmm. Somebody, no, he just likes aliens. Some other Republican was talking about aliens being demons, and I said, that's actually one of my favorite internet fan theories from the world of pop culture. It's for M. Night Shyamalan's Signs. There's an internet fan uh-huh. theory that those are not aliens. Those are actually demons. Mel Gibson's character is a priest who's lost his faith, or preacher who's lost his faith over the death of his wife or whatever. He gradually uh-huh. regains his faith throughout the movie. And at the end, the water and everything, that's like holy water or some shit. And they're demons, not aliens. That's definitely not what Shyamalan meant. But, you know, it's kind of fun. When people in Congress in real life are saying it, it's less fun to me. Reddit comment yeah. threads on the movie subreddit, you know, I could enjoy it more.
I do like the first thing you're talking about, where like it would really revolutionize the you know, evangelical theology if like someone's like, you know what, we weren't actually made in God's perfect image. We were God's rough draft. You know yes. how in sci-fi movies when they try to make a clone the first time, and it's like just a jumble of teeth and eyeballs.
It's a fly,
like,
man. Yeah, right, yeah, we're that.
Yeah, that's right. Us to God.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Pentagon's been rolling out because of, I don't really know. They just do this gradually because, you know, shit's going fucked up. So you're like, this will distract them for a little bit, and they put out, I mean, they are paranoid. They really do think to get the bottom of aliens by making the Pentagon dump out batches of files. So yeah, they released some last week, and Trump said on True Social Friday, these documents allow people to decide for themselves, in all caps, what the hell is going on? Have fun and enjoy, the president said. So yeah, that's the vibe here. So I'm sure you've been all over Reddit trying to read these. Have you found anything that are remotely interesting to you?
Not so far, no. It would be at the top of Reddit if there was.
Right. So, yeah, the stuff that's in there so far, like witness statements from a farmer in the 40s who said a UFO scared his birds. Some cops in the 60s that found a purple thing that fell from the sky and disintegrated when they touched it. My favorite document was like a letter to J. Edgar Hoover from people who worked at like a DuPont chemical factory that said they were being harassed by UFOs, and he basically forwarded with like, not my fucking problem, this is dumb bullshit. there's a former Luftwaffe mechanic who walked into an FBI office in Florida in the 1950s and said the Nazis had super powerful UFOs. That's what UFOs are. So I guess the Nazis just decided not to use them and lost the war.
Mm-hmm. The advent of the Jewish space lasers. We used those to shoot down the Nazi UFOs. And that's part of the secret effort to win the war.
Mm.
You didn't think about that?
Nah, did not think about that. I just think it's important that we keep going around and around in circles trying to win the approval of these people. Because I watched a video yesterday that was searching around for alien shit on the internet. And on X, formerly Twitter, I found an AI video that had gone viral of the, like, we will never believe the lies of this corrupt government. And it's like a picture of like an alien hanging out with Trump and how they're secretly running everything. So why are you trying to win government approval for people who think that aliens already control the fucking, there's nothing you can do to convince these people.
Well, but they've gotten so deep in bed with the crackpots in general, right? That's become like a significant voting block for them, I feel like. And by them, I mean MAGA, you know what I mean? Crazy mm-hmm. people. It's already kind of bitten them in the ass a couple times anyway, like courting that type of electorate. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
The crazies, I mean, they're love not, them.
They're not reliable voters because sometimes they forget to take their meds and go vote. But, like, whatever. Right. I guess we're going to figure. So, but, like one of the things they released was, like, as evidence for, like, aliens was a composite sketch that was based upon witness statements. So it was just like a drawing of an orb that people said, I saw an orb, and they drew it, like, here, look, aliens.
Right.
Like, if I look at a sketch that someone drew a Bigfoot because someone described Bigfoot to them, is that a proof of fucking Bigfoot?
No, it shouldn't be. Yeah, this is it's all pretty anticlimactic so far.
Right. So, they started a war to distract from the Epstein files. Now they're releasing alien stuff to distract from how shitty the Iran war is going, I guess. Or at least that's what Iran is saying, if you got this next video, Matt. Here's another Lego production.
Huh?
Fuck. So it's a Trump looking, if you listen to the audio version, it's Trump looking through a telescope to an alien in space who holds up a sign, and from his UFO that says, you lost to Iran, loser. And then Trump gets mad. So, like you talked about how, like, they have become an important voting block. It is really a problem for Democrats that all the lunatics are kind of on one side now. Because usually you would have to be able to divide. Usually get some Maha moms on the Democratic side.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But like, so like, but this is also stupid. So it's really just great to make it a bipartisan effort to make nobody happy. Here's Chuck Schumer needed to take partial credit for this on a social media post that reads, "For decades, UFO disclosure has been a distant object, unidentified and explained. That's starting to change. I'll keep pushing until we land on the truth." Sure you will, Chuck.
He just exhausts me so much. Everything he says, like, I just can't. You know,
just sit it out. Let the people get mad at Trump. And why you got to be like, I'm also to blame for this? You think you're mad?
Right.
It's so fucking stupid. So I wanted to talk a little bit at length about this story from last summer, which I think I mentioned at one point, but it's worth talking about now that like this panic's ginning up, because I think it sort of explains why we're at and why nobody can get to the bottom of this, because the government's been lying about it in different ways for close to 100 years, but not necessarily in the way that you think. All right. So let me start here in this piece in the Wall Street Journal. A tiny Pentagon office had spent months investigating conspiracy theories about secret Washington UFO programs when it uncovered a shocking truth. At least one of those theories had been fueled by the Pentagon itself. Basically, Congress ordered a probe to look back at this stuff going back to the 1980s and going back to the 50s and 60s. But back in the 80s, one thing they found is an Air Force colonel went to a bar near Area 51. He gave the owner photos of what he said was might be flying saucers for the owner to put up on the wall.
Was the owner a chick with big knockers or something? Was he trying to impress her? Or just like he just got drunk and was like, bro, you're going to love this shit. Check this shit out. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I had pictures of flying saucers, I would also pull them out in bars. But I wouldn't be a general at Area 51 probably because of that, you would think.
Nope. No knockers involved. I'll be quoting here. The colonel was on a mission of disinformation. The photos were doctored, and the now retired officer confessed to the Pentagon investigators in 2023 that the whole exercise was a ruse to protect what was really going on at Area 51.
Look at me.
The Air Force was using the site to develop top secret stealth fighters viewed as a critical edge against the Soviet Union.
Such a rube. Such an easy mark I am. I'd be like, you know, goddamn, I'd fall for the alien pictures every time. Wouldn't even cross my mind.
You got a guy who works in the Air Force, a top secret security clearance, just telling you there's fucking aliens, right? But he's doing it because obviously if the Soviets are recruiting agents in around New Mexico, they want people with, like, hanging out in bars where the Air Force guys hang out. So you want everybody believing that the stealth aircraft are actually fucking aliens. So the Soviet Union believes they're aliens, right?
Yeah, no.
It throws them off the scent.
Yeah.
So that part makes sense, except it's completely destructive when it comes up 80 years later that nobody has trust in the government because you convince them they're fucking aliens that you can't prove exist because they don't fucking exist because you made them up.
Right, yeah. Didn't entirely think it through. Wasn't really playing the long game with that one.
Right. So the conspiracy here, if the government is to believe this time around, which, you know, whatever, but like the cover, this is a cover up of their own disinformation campaign to push the beliefs in the UFO to begin with, but also kind of their own fucking stupidity. But this would explain, if this is a propaganda effort of the American government, for the most part, this would explain why the overwhelming majority of UFO sightings are by Americans.
Right.
We have been convinced by our government that they exist. Like, if you look at a heat map of like UFO sightings, it's the majority are in America, but the overwhelming majority, pretty much 99%, are in English-speaking former colonies of the UK. So people that absorb American media.
Uh-huh.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you want a conspiracy, here it is.
Right. Or, Mark, or.
Or. I'm
just going to throw this out there.
Aliens love also looking at white, like English-speaking people's butts.
Aliens also like U.S. media, right? We've got a cultural victory over the aliens, too. And so when they come here to observe, they're naturally going to check out, you know, the people that they've seen in the images that they picked up from space of Tom Cruise movies and stuff, who also is in direct communication with them, I'm sure. So
because it takes a long time for waves to get there. So they just now got Baywatch. They want to come visit Malibu and see what the fuck is up. Right. So one of the guys test lead one of his investigations is a guy by the name of Sean Patrick, who is a serious person, right? He was a respected scientist who spent years studying vibrations and laser crystals, which, you know, are tangentially related to weapons programs. But Congress assigned him to investigate this, to figure out what the fuck is going on with the government's UFOs. And kind of funny, so because he's sort of become a hero for the UFO lunatics on the internet. So now they take this boring guy who just seems to generally know what he's talking about, and they put him. They edit his YouTube videos into dystopian, like, sci-fi things, kind of to fit their vibe. Like, it makes him feel like he's on Ancient Aliens. If you got this video, Sean Patrick. Right.
The difference between scientific investigation and intelligence tradecraft is actually very thin. There's a lot of overlap between them. And in fact, we have a field in the intelligence called scientific and technical intelligence. And it is exactly what it sounds
So he's just sitting in his office, but they moved him into like having screens move behind him to make it more kinetic and conspiratorial, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that Kirkpatrick discovered pretty easily was that there was a farcical level of security around this that doesn't exist for anything else that's real, right? Let me quote here. A former Air Force officer was visibly terrified when he told Kirkpatrick's investigators that he had been briefed on a secret alien project decades earlier and was warned that if he ever repeated the secret, he could be jailed or executed. The claim would be repeated to investigators by other men who had never spoken of the matter, even with their spouses. It turned out the witnesses had been victims of a bizarre hazing ritual. So for generations, as part of a hazing ritual, or maybe an ink dye test we'll get to, they would tell new officers who were being read into the Air Force weapons programs that they were deconstructing alien technology.
Right. I mean, that I totally get that as a prank, but like you gotta later let them in on the joke, don't you think? Like
that's funny
fine
part.
To do that. That's like a mechanic sending a new mechanic to get the like what the headlight fluid. Like you know what I mean?
When like, I work construction,
get
it was
extendable 2x4 yeah. or what, like that type of shit. Like that's
when I work construction, it was they would send new guys to get a metric adjustable wrench.
Right. It's that type of thing. So it's a time honored tradition that I really don't have any problem with, except you then got a later. Let the guy know that, you know, you were just pulling a prank on him and making him feel like a dumbass. You can't just let him live his whole life believing he might get executed if he tells anyone about the alien shit you were doing or whatever, losing sleep at night. You can't do that.
It's like first of all, like the people that revealed American nuclear secrets, like Jonathan Pollard, just served his 30 years, and he lives in Israel now. He's running for office there. Like you don't get executed for like just for merely revealing the existence of weapons programs. So anyway, like but they did this for so many generations. The guys involved forgot it was a prank. Apparently,
it started with a class of dudes who did it. Never told the guys it was a joke. Those guys retire now. These guys are doing it, and it's like they don't even remember that it was a joke to begin with, so now it's almost not a joke.
they've manifested the existence of a metric adjustable wrench.
Right.
Now there's a Wikipedia, like instead of like snipe hunts being fake, now there's a Wikipedia page dedicated to snipes as a real bird that everyone goes hunting for, and you catch it with a bag in a river.
Right.
So, like, it's also fucking stupid. Now, the practical, like, there is a... like a realistic version where this would make sense to do. And that's just like, you know what an ink dye test is for counterintelligence?
I mean, I've definitely heard that term before, but I don't remember what I'm picturing Rorschach shit. And I know that's not what it is.
No, basically like if you want to figure out where a leak is in a series of pipes, you put ink, like ink in different pipes and then you take turns doing it with different colors or whatever. And if it comes out the other end, you know where the leak came from. Right.
Right.
So if you gave all your guys in the height peak of the Cold War a bunch of bullshit information about UFOs, if the information about UFOs came back to the CIA through an agent in the Soviet Union, you would know that someone was leaking.
Yeah, it's that famous scene with Tyrion in Game of Thrones. That's where he's trying to figure out who the rat is when he tells them all he's got a different plan for Myrcella, the daughter of Cersei, the princess, and to determine which one is, got loose lips or whatever. He tells everybody a different thing and see which one flushes out. So
there you go. Yeah. So continue reading here. For decades, certain new commanders of the Air Force's most classified programs, as part of their induction briefings, would be handed a piece of paper with a photo of what looked like a flying saucer. The craft was described as an anti-gravity maneuvering vehicle. The officers were told that the program they were joining, dubbed Yankee Blue, was part of an effort to reverse engineer the technology on the craft. They were told never to mention it again, and many never learned it was fake, like I said. So, the Air Force figured out this was going on back in 2023 and sent a memo out to everyone to tell them to please stop lying to the next classes of officers about there being this Yankee Blue program. But the fucking Cold War ended 36 years ago.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they just like, so they've just been teaching guys they're involved in a war of the worlds for 30 some years for no fucking purpose.
Right.
So like, so that's the first two forms.
It seems like they started to believe it or whatever. So they get this memo. It's like, hey, the bit was fun, but you got to stop the bit now. And they're all like, what bit? What are you talking about?
Right.
Like, they don't even think they're good. They just think it's true.
So then that brings us, that's the first two kinds of fucking up they were doing. The one, the intentional spy disinformation with the guy like handing out photos around Roswell in New Mexico, right? Then the second one, which is the disinformation of their own guys, which is apparently like either a prank or like I said, a counterintelligence like ink dye test they forgot to turn off. But that there's a third kind of thing they were also doing to their own people, which is the accidental psyop through weapons testing programs, which is what everyone sort of assumes is going on anyway. But like, for example, on Watts' interview with a guy named Robert Salas, who was describing an incident here when he was manning a nuclear missile silo back in 1967.
And during this call, the security guard said, "Sir, we've been seeing strange lights in the sky, flying very fast and then stopping in midair, making 90-degree turns." And he kept repeating, he said, "These are not aircraft, sir."
Okay, so... What the guys actually saw, and of course, we're all human beings, we understand how this thing happens. You see a thing you can't explain, and you tell the story over and over again, it becomes a little bit exaggerated, right? So he was seeing a glowing orb sitting on a platform. It did not move, it didn't make any 90-degree turns. But a bunch of guys believe stuff like this because of stuff the government did to them, which we're going to get to. But Salas is one of five men interviewed by Kirkpatrick's team who witnessed such events in the 60s and 70s. They were sworn to secrecy, but the men began sharing their stories in the 90s in books and in documentaries. I want to note, without being executed, which is the first clue that they're...
Right.
So that was an interview from Salas from a couple weeks ago, but he still believes this shit, even though he's been told what was actually seen. What happened was, back in the 60s, scientists knew that those nuclear missile silos could withstand the blast of a nuclear attack. But they did not know if they could withstand like the EMPs that also came from the bombs, where they would blow up their electronics. So they have built devices to test to see what would happen if EMP went off near the missile silos, but did not tell the guys in the silos. Because if they were Soviet spies, the Soviet Union would now know that the missile silos were vulnerable to EMP attacks.
Man. It's got to be tiresome being in a Cold War like that. But, you know, yeah. You're always got outsmarting yourself and fucking never trusted nothing. And, you know.
Well, we won the Cold War. And, like, by the way, the secret never got out. The attack worked. The Soviets could have fucking actually disabled our nuclear missiles by setting off EMP outside. So, like, it's good they didn't find that out, I guess, assuming they were going to try to annihilate us. But, like, the point is, they never went back and told these guys they actually saw it. Even when they came out in public and said they were seeing UFOs. They could have went quietly to be like, here's actually the device you saw. You reckon this look familiar? This is what we were doing.
Right. I bet a lot of those guys, though, like you say, when they get told that, they're like, sure, okay.
Right. That's the trap, though.
I know.
How do you prove anything to anyone at this point?
Yeah, right.
The DOD is caught in this idiot doom loop. Where they actually convinced us there were aliens for disinformation reasons on purpose, but also they also convinced their own people there are aliens for reasons that made sense at the time and other reasons they forgot or because it was a fun prank. Now they can't regain trust unless they produce proof of aliens that they don't fucking have. Even when they do release stuff, the congresswomen look at it and be like, I bet you that's demons, not aliens.
Right.
So fuck.
Yeah. Ugh. Hard to know what to do if you're them.
Just brilliant work all around.
Right. And also hard to know what to do if you're an American or a Democrat or anything like that because of...
If I work for the DOD or the Pentagon or the Trump White House or anybody in government right now or Congress, I'd be like, look, there may or may not be aliens. It doesn't appear the Pentagon knows for sure, has any proof of it that we can find. I think the best thing for everyone to do is stop participating in craziness and kind of be quiet about it and move along and hope that goes back to the recesses of the nether regions. The nether regions is the wrong word. I don't mean the grundle of America, but you know what I'm saying. It goes back to the internet. It goes back to Reddit instead of Congress. That's what I would do.
Where it belongs. And it would be. You know, I think it would. I think it still mostly is. I know that it's like getting covered more mainstream coverage than like it used to for a long time, but I still think that, to me, I think most people are... You know,
But the thing I think is crazy when politics, when serious politicians become like this, it turns normies off from politics even more. So even more of our politics is controlled by the lunatics,
right? Which, again, they probably not hit for a bunch of them, probably,
right?
That part too. All right, well, let's take a quick break and then talk about something else that don't hit. Although I just said that. I said that don't not hit, so that's not a good segue. We'll talk about a bad thing right after this. Thank you. Weekly Skews is brought to you by Fast Growing Trees. Not the concept. I'll explain it. Spring has hit. We've been thinking about the yard. My wife spends most of every day in the yard lately, and she's out there doing a lot of stuff. I'm not. I think about it a little, not much. I'm not, I don't do anything. I've been in here busy talking to y'all, saving the world. Look, I got my own thing going on. All right. But she reminds me, it's a lot. She's always going to this place and that place. She's got pots all over she's spilling dirt everywhere. It's a whole thing. It's like a lot of effort for what she does great. But sometimes, you know, some people, they get a mediocre result. It just depends on your skills. Obviously, my wife's great. Your wife, I don't know. Fast Growing Trees is a better way to go about all of that. Fast Growing Trees is America's largest online nursery, over 1,600 varieties of trees and plants, more than you're going to find anywhere else, and they deliver straight to your door in just a few days. Fruit trees, privacy trees, flowering trees, shrubs, houseplants, whatever you want, they got options that work for your climate and your growing zone. Not just whatever happened to show up on the truck that week that you get down at your local garden center, all right? You can choose. What I appreciate most over there is they got the Alive and Thrive guarantee. Every plant arrives healthy and ready to go, and if you're not sure what you need or how to take care of it, they've got plant experts available 7 days a week by phone, chat, or email who can help you figure out exactly what works for your space. Personalized video consultations if you want to get into it. You know, it's the kind of support you never get wandering around a big box store. Spring is genuinely the best time to get this done. The time is now, right now. And right now, by the way, they've got deals going on up to half off on select plants. And our show's listeners get an additional 20% off their first purchase with the code SKEW at checkout, SKEW. That's on top of the sale they're already running. Okay, you get an additional 20% off your first purchase when you use the promo code SKEW, SKEW, at fastgrowingtrees.com. Let's grow together. Weekly Skews is brought to you by ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol. May's here and it ain't messing around. Summer's right around the corner. Wedding season kicking off. The Indy 500's coming up. You got baseball. I just was at Dodger Stadium the other day. It's a month packed with reasons to be out and about with people that you care about. And you want to take full advantage of that, right? But, you know, you want to have a good time. Socialize. Get a little social lubricant going. Booze it up. You know what I mean. But I'm 40 now. The mornings get rougher and rougher the next day. We all know that. It can ruin your next day. You got to choose between hitting the night before, being alive, feeling alive the next day. They used to have to choose. But that's where pre-alcohol comes in. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic, invented by PhD scientists to tackle those rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut, and the buildup of that byproduct, not dehydration in and of itself, that's what's responsible for the rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme that breaks that byproduct down, right? So you make ZBiotics your first drink of the night, and then drink responsibly, of course, always, and you'll still feel your best the next morning. Every time I do use it, I wake up ready and raring for the day ahead, right? I can have a good night with friends and still enjoy a good morning with the family. You don't have to pick anymore. You can show up for both. That's the whole point with ZBiotics. From the stadium to the reception hall to race day, don't let a rough morning keep you on the sidelines this May. Go to ZBiotics.com/SKEW, SKEW. Use the promo code SKEW at checkout for 15% off your first order. They got 100% money back guarantee, no questions asked, so there's no risk to you. One more time, ZBiotics.com/SKEW and use the promo code SKEW at checkout for 15% off. ZBiotics, give it a shot. All right, and we're back. Everybody's favorite subject, gerrymandering. Herculean task making gerrymandering interesting to people, Mark, I feel like. So let's give it a shot.
But obnoxious conspiratorial fuckery is interesting to people, as we just discussed in the last segment. So three big things happened with voting rights and gerrymandering in the last week or so. And if you just were paying superficial type of attention, you might think it was just one thing. It's all part of the same story, but it's kind of not. I would say it's all part of the same eternal story, which a certain class of people don't want most people to have their votes count. Right?
Right. But it's the impetus for all of it, or for most of it, is the Supreme Court decision, right? They gutted the Voting Rights Act, and all this other stuff is like the fallout from that.
But the Virginia stuff the three things I'm referring to are the new gerrymandered Virginia map, which is redrawn to benefit Democrats, was struck down by the Virginia Supreme Court. In response to that, Florida quickly passed a new gerrymander, which to me reads as illegal under the Florida Constitution, but good luck with that. But that gives Republicans a chance to win four new seats if the math holds. And then the Supreme Court, as you mentioned, eliminated protections for predominantly minority-held seats in a case called Louisiana versus Calais, which is what's prompting hastily organized efforts by states like Louisiana, Tennessee, Alabama, and South Carolina to add additional Republican seats pretty late in primary season to be doing so.
Right. So I have a few questions. I mean, so first of all, like, I know Tennessee in particular, because that's the state I'm from. They had one blue congressional district left. It was Memphis. So they're taking Memphis now and splitting it up into three parts and putting each of those three parts, attaching it to this, you know, stretched out and totally like nonsensical conglomeration of rural interior Tennessee counties that are very red, and thus diluting the Memphis vote and making it to where all the Tennessee congressional seats will be red.
To describe, like, to help you people visualize what they did, this is according to a Democratic state senator in Tennessee. As present, if you drive from one Krispy Kreme to another Krispy Kreme in the suburbs of Nashville, a 20-minute drive, you will pass through five different congressional districts.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous. And but also the Virginia thing, because you're from Virginia, and I've said this before when other things have happened. It is, I don't get how, like, so the Supreme Court made this decision, right? Mm-hmm. And the red states are using it to gerrymander to benefit Republicans. So a lot of blue states have been like, well, we're going to gerrymander back at you, but to benefit Democrats. And it's based on the Supreme Court decision. And I don't get how a lower court in Virginia, just only Virginia, none of the other states, this court in Virginia can be like, no, y'all can't do that here. When everyone else can do it, like, it just seems it shouldn't be.
Let's take it. You're just talking about the whole thing in the beginning. Let's take it piece by piece for a second. Okay. We'll get through it. So it's not describing the lower court's not quite right, because the Virginia Supreme Court's not. It's a state court. It's that they don't report this the federal Supreme Court. Right.
Yeah, okay.
So but the point is, like, for the Democrats, and I just want to keep this in mind here, is as always, the time to do something about this was earlier.
Yeah. Ain't that so, just like, the way? And yeah, I bet it's stuff where it's like, at the time, there were people saying it, too. It's like stacking the Supreme Court or fucking...
We said it.
Yeah, right. Getting rid of the filibuster and stuff when they had the opportunity to do it, and they just never do it. And then later, it's too late.
And the centrist wing of the party, like I said, the time to do this was earlier, but the centrist wing of the party prefer... Their favorite time to do stuff is way too fucking late.
Right.
So that's where we're at right now. It's probably way too fucking late.
Right, because then they could just bitch about it without having to worry about actually fixing it or whatever. Right. You know what I mean?
Fundraise off of it. Yeah. Right. So, but we sat there on this show back in 2020 and 2021 and 2022 when Joe Biden, like the beginning of the Joe Biden administration, when court reform was in the zeitgeist as part of a conversation when he took office. You know, they handed down the Dobbs decision. They had legalized bribery. It already eliminated part of the Voting Rights Act, and they were caught taking bribes, including free vacations and a free fucking $250,000 RV from a billionaire donor who, how should I describe? Let's just say has a certain affinity for to collect the artwork of a failed Austrian artist famous from the 1930s. And Joe Biden's response to this was to form a blue ribbon commission full of people who he knew would tell him to do nothing about this. And when they came back and said, hey, actually, everything's fine, he said, see, what am I going to do? And then fucking walked away from it, right? So, yeah. Anyway, the result of this latest, the current status of this gerrymandering push, we're going to look at this map right here. This is a data visualization from the New York Times. Basically, over the last 2 weeks, new court rulings, new congressional maps have put Republicans back on track to add more than a dozen districts that voted for Donald Trump. It's they're going to end up basically structurally with a 4% lead, so Democrats will have to win by the popular vote margin by like 5% to win the House in general. So Dems will probably still take the House in this environment, but it makes their odds a little longer. In the long term, this is pretty fucking damaging to, you know, anybody that wants Democratic representation in this country. So everything I'm saying so far makes sense.
Huh? Yeah. You're asking?
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
So in this environment, so the Democrats did, some college professor proposed like a scheme to get around the Virginia Supreme Court. And here's Fox News responding to it pretty hilariously. If you got this video, Matt.
Lawmakers vented anger at their defeat at the Virginia Supreme Court. They spoke about a collective determination to flip two or three Republican-held seats under the existing map and discussed a bank shot proposal to redraw the congressional lines anyway. Most dramatic idea they discussed, which would be involved the unusual gambit to replace the entire Supreme Court of Virginia with the goal of reinstating their gerrymandered map. One key to the plan would be having Democrats in Richmond lower the mandatory retirement age for Supreme Court justices. Can you imagine?
It's unbelievable.
Firing the Virginia Supreme Court. By the way, if you want to take off in a purple state, independence, who you need to win elections, do that. So that's, to me, insane.
So one of my favorite, I love concern trolling as a genre of thing, where it's like, man, I sure hope the Democrats don't do this because it would be really bad for Democrats. Uh-huh. Oh, no. So I don't think the Democrats are going to do this. Personally, like, in general, I think they should try harder, but this feels a little bit too clever by half. Like, I think the youngest justice is 53, so they have to lower the retirement age for the Supreme Court to 53 years old. And, like, basically, it'd be a like test where, like,
be enough time for that, would they, like, to get rid of all of, like, lower the retirement age, force them all out, and get them all entirely replaced in, you know, a few months? I mean, I guess think you could probably do it
in a, you could do it in a week or two, probably,
right?
If you went hard. And so, but also I want to note in this context, like, Republicans at present are stacking the Utah Supreme Court because of a fight over gerrymandering there. That, like, the court ruled their new maps were unconstitutional. So they're just simply, they impeached one judge. They're adding two more to the Supreme Court to swing the balance of power. Like, it's like a weird thing where, like, I do agree that it's asymmetrical where which side's allowed to do is part of normal and which side's fucking crazy. I mean, the Ohio Republicans are just, like, changed the playbook entirely, but it's completely ignoring their state Supreme Court orders. Uh-huh. Which is another option here for Democrats in Virginia. But I don't think this is a way to... I don't think this is a good way for society to be going. You know what I'm saying? But to be fair, the Supreme Court of Virginia opinion was insanely stupid and obviously motivated to achieve a desired result. For context here, the justices are elected by the state legislature. And so it's not, they're not really partisan. And they're usually elected bipartisanly, but like... Four do skew conservative, and those are the four that voted to do this. The case is called Scott v. McDougall. A four-justice majority of the Virginia High Court ruled that the amended process was unconstitutional, rendering the voter-approved map null and void. I want to note here that, other than like other kinds of gerrymandering, this map was voter-approved.
Right.
Which puts it in a separate category to me, but like, whatever. The basic logic here, I need you to follow me closely. The Virginia Constitution requires the General Assembly to pass a constitutional amendment twice before it goes to voters for ratification. Basically, you have to pass it once before an election and then again after an election before to go to voters. The idea is to give the voters two separate times to weigh in. Once, to kick the bums out of office, if they put a measure up for vote that you fucking hate. And secondly, to vote it down if you fucking hate it, right?
Okay.
They first passed it on October 31st. The election was November 4th, and they passed it again in January. The catch is, Virginia has 45 days of early voting. So even though the plain meaning of the law specifies that general election refers to general election day, which they were before, they were technically 40 days into early voting. So that's what the Supreme Court, they just invented a never-before-used standard to throw this fucking voter-approved referendum out.
They were 40 days into early voting when they passed it the first time.
Yes.
Before the election.
Right. Okay. Which I 45 days of early voting does sound like I'm not, like, I don't really care. Like, I'm in general in favor of making it easier for everybody to vote. But that does sound like a lot. But even then, like, this general, they passed it twice and the voters approved it.
Right.
So, like, people got to weigh in a bunch on this. There was a huge campaign about it. They spent millions and millions of dollars and everyone went to go vote. Nobody could claim to be uninformed. If you voted for a legislator who voted for this later, you still had a chance to vote against the measure, the referendum.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, it's completely manufactured horseshit. But the way everyone's covering this, it's like this gerrymandering push started with Virginia. Like, the fight is like, it's worth remembering the general belief systems here. Liberals and Democrats, including me, tend to believe that gerrymandering is bad because people should be on generally equal footing. And it's worth noting that Democrats in Congress have proposed a national bill banning it altogether. Conservatives like gerrymandering, basically because they think people with power have the right to get to decide stuff. And if you don't like it, you should seize some fucking power.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Also, I mean, it's one of the mechanisms by which they can stack the deck in their favor despite you know, have and their policies be generally unpopular and that type of thing, right?
Well, they think the power is naturally stacked in their favor. Because, yes, money gives you more power, but they were, the free market has adjudicated them to be the more successful, smarter people, so therefore they get to wield it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's not stacked. It's the system giving them all the power and money is what's fair.
Right. And because they've been given it, they should be able to determine how to keep it, leverage it, grow it, expand it, all that stuff.
Exactly.
By divine right.
It's a divine right of kings, except it's the free market is the god.
The divine being. Yeah, right.
And it's decided because they started a successful used car dealership that they should get to rule their city. Yeah. Right.
Right.
So, argue about whether the Texas or New York or Virginia started it's weird because it's baked into the belief systems of the parties. But anyway, so they bring us to the Supreme Court decision, which again was called Louisiana versus Calais. Goes back a couple years, so arguing about when this started is weird, another reason. It went through a couple of different iterations of court fights. But basically, after the 2020 census, new maps were issued in Louisiana, and then a group called Non-African-American Voters filed a lawsuit led by a guy named Philip Burt Calais, who lives near Baton Rouge. And I just want to note here that Burt is not Philip's legal name in any way, shape, or form. Burt's in quotes. Burt is Philip's nickname that he goes by. He goes by Burt. Our voting rights have been overturned by a guy named Philip who goes by Burt from Baton Rouge.
Yeah, he should be focusing on his frog leg recipe and stuff like that down there.
Right.
I trust a guy named Bert when it comes to that, you know?
Yeah.
Talking about gumbo and that type of shit, but not determining the electoral landscape of the country or nothing.
I was trying to figure out why his nickname's Bert, then I looked at a picture of him. If you got this picture, Matt, I think it's because he looks like Bert from Bert and Ernie, if you got this, Matt. And Matt pulls it up. He's the guy on the right, which I think you'll immediately be able to tell.
Yeah.
That's Burt.
He looks like
a Burt looking motherfucker.
He is a very Burt looking motherfucker. I agree with you.
It's worth noting that Burt is an election conspiracy theorist who was at January 6th, of course. In a post from February, Burt dismissed concerns about access to mail-in voting. He told one user with a disability that, to quote, find someone to haul you to the polls. So if you're handicapped and want to vote, just climb in your cousin's wheelbarrow.
Oh my God! Yeah.
See what I'm saying about like if you don't like power, seize it. He thinks like if you can't drag your ass to the fucking polls, then God has decided that you don't get to vote by making your legs not work.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So
another
yeah.
Sorry. Never mind. I'm sorry. Sorry. I just did two podcasts back to back, and earlier me and Corey were talking about people. Somebody came up a guy who hates disability activists, like a conservative. Was like, who could be against disability activists? I was like, this guy really hates ramps, right? And then you might have whipped. Then this came up, and I was like, another guy who hates ramps, and then realized this is two completely different podcasts. They run together, guys. What do you want me to tell you? Anyway, fuck Bert.
But you're onto something there. It's like, why do they get a ramp when I have to walk up the steps with my stupid legs? Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, because of all this, Supreme Court is wiped out, which is basically the last vestige of the Voting Rights Act in this case. They flipped the law on its head basically to say it's racist to draw majority black districts.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, I saw a lot of the coverage I saw when this passed from, like, right-leaning outlets and shit. That's how they all presented it. That's the spin they all went with. The Supreme Court has just valiantly struck down this racist practice, right? And it's like, so the ostensible logic there is because drawing them explicitly by using racial demographics, it should all be colorblind. Otherwise, it's racist, is what they, how they would present it. Right.
I don't want to be like do super big to be fair here thing, but I just want to think about this in context because it is impossible to draw a perfectly quote unquote fair map.
Was actually going to ask you that too because I was thinking about it. It's like, well, how should it work? If it, you know, you're supposed to elect. In a democracy like we have, people are supposed to elect representatives, you know, ideally that represent their interests. So, like, communities that are of a certain type, you know, you'd think they should have at least someone who understands, you know, their concerns and their community and that type of thing or can relate to them and that. But I don't know how you guarantee that when it comes to giving X number of congressional districts in any given state and deciding where the lines have to be drawn. I know the way that they're doing it is obviously ridiculous. Like you were talking about Tennessee earlier and the way it's currently drawn is any idiot could look at that and say like, well, this is chicanery is what this is. But yeah, I don't, you know, I mean, how are you supposed to What is the perfect way to do? You can't just draw like square lines and shit. Like that's how the UK like drew fucking borders in the Middle East and stuff like that. You know, that don't work. So you know.
Well, the UK, they did it to maximize consternation because they wanted people fighting each other all the time, and it worked. Yeah, way to go, Winston Churchill. So you fucker. So so what you're saying, like, yes, like you, basically what you want to do is either draw like something approaching a square district with equal numbers of voters in between them, but then like you said, that's not fair because that might also break up Memphis,
right?
Or do you draw keep Memphis together to try to have like a majority black district? And the South is very heavily blacker. It's blacker than the rest of the country, right? So like, wouldn't you want like black representation? But neither one of those are perfectly fair, right? So like what you do is Congress put a bunch of balancing tests into the Voting Rights Act to have fair, sober-minded people come together and try to weigh those two things,
right?
And Supreme Court has gradually been crushing them one by one. And it's worth noting that like since the 60s. To keep the lid on this stuff, you know, we went through a very contentious issue in the 60s and 70s with, you know, the civil rights movement. And we've all decided retroactively the civil rights movement was very nonviolent because it's worth the sort of nice myths we're able to tell each other. But there was a ton of fucking violence to get to something approaching fairness, right?
Yeah.
So, I just want to say it's bipartisan. Like Reagan signed an expansion of the Voting Rights Act in the 80s. Then George W. Bush signed the last extension of the Voting Rights Act in 2006 with huge majorities. This is all very, very new, this kind of fight. But basically, the Supreme Court, what they did was they found a way to rule that a 75% white district is legal if you call it a political gerrymander, but a 40 to 45% black district is an illegal racial gerrymander.
Well, why is it? Why is a political gerrymander, why is that constitutional and okay to begin with? And I get the why a racial one isn't, because that's racist and it should be colorblind, but calling it this one's done politically and that's okay. I mean, why? What's the justification for that?
As a general rule, and this also tends to work out to their favor a lot, because you know the Senate is also rigged to be anti-majoritarian, and once we're doing gerrymandering, the House is going to be anti-majoritarian. The president with the Electoral College is anti-majoritarian. So the Supreme Court, in all their wisdom, has basically said they sit out political issues. So if something's a political issue, that's something for the executive and congressional branches legislative branches to fight out, right? And they stick out of it. So how you gerrymander instead of political gerrymander is a political issue for the parties to fight out. Whether or not people have civil rights is a court case.
Okay.
So what they've said is it's against white people's civil rights to ball black districts. That's why they got rid of them. The rest of it's left up to the politicians.
Okay.
Right. So, So anyway, this is why all of the southern states are redrawing all their boundaries real quick in a hurry before the fall to try to stop, insulate themselves from the damage of Trump having a 30% approval rating. But the way this is being presented, this is all the fault of Virginia Democrats for trying to fight back exactly once. If you think that's true, I just have a chunk of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel to sell you.
Again, I know you're from Virginia, and also you're the most informed dude I know, but I didn't even know until we sat down here and you started saying that is what people were saying. I thought that I was in Texas and went to a protest when they were talking about doing their big new gerrymander last year. And right after that, in my recollection, was when California was all right, well, we'll do it back, motherfuckers. I don't even remember Virginia. You know what I mean? I didn't even recall that Virginia was the inciting incident for any of that or nothing. I thought it started with Texas and California, and then it's spiraled out from there. Not started. It's been going on for years, but you know what I mean?
This is how conservative media is spinning it, because what they want to do is they want to take the heat off the Supreme Court for it and blame it as an organic response to Virginia. When you're sure you'd say Texas and California, Texas went first, California responded to Texas. People started saying no, Texas was actually responding to New York, which is bullshit because New York Democrats gerrymandered for Republicans, and because you know that's stupid. It's a whole other thing, but I get tired of the who started it sort of thing, but it's not a matter of who started it, because in general, conservatives are pro gerrymandering,
right?
And you can agree with them if you want. I think it's stupid and undemocratic, but a lot of people yes, it's undemocratic. I am not for pure democracy, right? Mm-hmm. So. But anyway, if you think this is all just a coincidence is all happening at the same time, here's Governor of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, on 60 Minutes Sunday night talking about why he's throwing out already cast votes in primaries.
People following the Supreme Court decision Governor Landry declared a state of emergency and abruptly suspended congressional House primaries right as voting was starting, ordering a do-over at a future date, leaving voters dazed and confused.
You declared a state of emergency. What exactly is the emergency?
We've got the highest court of the land says the map that you have is unconstitutional, so we don't have a map under which our voters can vote on.
This country has held elections during the Civil War, during two world wars. Elections still went on.
We're going to have an election, and we're actually going to have an election on Election Day.
But voting was already...
So... people that have been wondering, like talking about Trump canceling elections or whatever, that I didn't know how he would ever actually do that. This is what trying to steal an election looks like, and it'll probably still result in Democrats taking the House, but it's going to be a bunch of corrupt fuckery in between here and then, right? So, I feel naive whenever this kind of fucking, and I don't know what's in any of these guys' hearts or whatever, but like this kind of de facto racism, where you're absolutely taking away people's rights, and he can claim for whatever reason that he's doing it because he believes in conservative values, and Louisiana is a conservative state, and they're allowed to do this politically, and why would you try to maximize your political advantage? It's your duty to your constituents and your party. All that's true. But I just want to say as a side note, and other things they're doing, that doesn't explain any of this. They Louisiana Republicans, Landry signed a bill last week, I think, eliminating an elected clerk of criminal court position just days before a Democrat was about to take office in New Orleans. This guy is an exoneree, overwhelmingly won the seat, and he was set to take office. They say it's to cut costs. But the candidate, a guy named Calvin Duncan, who's a Democrat whose murder conviction was vacated in 2021 after evidence emerged the police officers had lied in court, and he had ran for office after finishing law school, vowing to help fix a system that once failed him. And they just cannot let this motherfucker have a victory because he makes them look bad because he's a black man who got his conviction overturned. I want to play this video of Calvin if you got this, man.
At 19, when I got arrested, people was telling me that I was going to get executed, get the death penalty. And I asked them, how could I help myself? And they said I had to become a lawyer. So I started studying law. And I was trying to, you know, prevent myself from being executed, them from executing me. And in my case, the jury rejected the death penalty, and I was sentenced to spend the rest of my life in prison. One of the problems that we had in New Orleans was accessing our records, our court records.
Yeah. So, obviously, this guy's a monster. It must be stopped.
Yeah. This guy, he went to law school, got himself exonerated, cops were being shitty, whatever. Then he gets elected to this position. But then the overall state legislature just eliminated the position he was elected to just because fuck this guy.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. How do you spin anything like that other than just as being, you know, petty horse shit? You know what I'm saying? Like, what kind of like actual argument can you make to the public about why that's a fair and just thing to do? But I mean, they don't care to and don't need to because most of their supporters are also like, yeah, fuck that guy. So simple as, isn't it?
I mean, democracy is worth staying here, but like when I talked about the Voting Rights Act being bipartisan, like coming out of the Civil War and Jim Crow and Civil Rights Movement and all this stuff, like the first thing of democracy, the first rule of it is you have to be able to take an L, right? And as a person who skews pretty left wing, I am used to taking L after L after L.
Ain't that the truth? Yeah.
And I am willing to eat my shit sandwiches, but Republicans seem no longer willing to eat any of their shit sandwiches. Like, fighting to keep that guy in prison, him beating you by becoming a jailhouse lawyer, getting exonerated, then becoming a real lawyer and running for office, and winning a seat in Orleans Parish, which doesn't fucking matter statewide. You can't let him have it. So in this environment, like, Alabama's lieutenant governor, who's also the president of the state Senate, has suggested a 7-0 Republican gerrymander calling for his party to eliminate both black Democrats. Every seat on a map like this would be dark red and heavily white. It's worth noting that Alabama is a quarter black. Also, just on Monday, the Supreme Court lifted injunctions stopping Alabama from redistricting. They reinstated a Texas gerrymander 15 weeks before primaries because they claimed it was too close the election to block it. But now they're letting Alabama gerrymander 1 week before primary after a trial court found the map was intentionally discriminatory against black voters. So the rules for Texas are 14 weeks different than the rules in Alabama.
Right. Also, I know we talked about, okay, political gerrymandering is okay, but and you alluded to this, but it's like, why not? Okay, right. So all these new red districts they've created are all white, which is a race, but that don't count as doing it by race. No, that's doing it politically. Well, why can't it? Why isn't the old Memphis district? It's not because it's black. It's because it's Democrat. You know, like it's politically gerrymandered. It's not sure. There's a lot of black people there, but we're not using race to determine this.
Right.
We're drawing it because it's a Democrat district, which makes it a political gerrymander, which should be okay. You would think.
Right. Well, that's the thing is like, because the Republicans redrawing it, they're saying we're redrawing the map and we're Republicans. We want to make it so Republicans win. The Supreme Court's like, well, we can't do anything about that. Okay. Right. That's it. So then they pretend to not know the racial demographics of the districts they're breaking up. If you want to see what I'm talking about, here's Tennessee State Senator London Lamar questioning a redistricting bill of sponsors. A guy by the name is John Stevens.
Are you aware that Memphis is predominantly African American?
I am not.
So to my sponsor, who went to law school at the University of Memphis and lived there for 3 years, you're telling me you're not aware that Memphis is predominantly African-American. Am I correct?
And Lamar, he's answered that.
Is the sponsor aware that Shelby County is predominantly African-American?
I'm not aware.
Are you aware that...
Okay. If there's one thing people know about Memphis...
Yeah, look, I'm not... Look, as a Tennessean, I'm not proud of this, but just so people know, I grew up 4.5 hours away from Memphis in the northeast corner of Middle Tennessee, and all the redneck people I went to school with there called Memphis Memfrica. That's what they called it, which barely fucking works. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't even
work at all.
You just took two words and put them together. But what I'm saying is, like you said, every white person in the state of Tennessee is very aware that Memphis is a black city. Like, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's 63% black, by the way, and which is part of a bunch of conversations about Memphis. It's part of like Elon put a data center there without against the will of the people, and part of the reason people are complaining about it is because environmental racism that is poisoning, using the water of a majority black city. Like, that's the, you cannot exist in Tennessee and not know about this,
right?
And like, even like, there was part of a sports discourse earlier this year when somebody on one of the ESPN talking shows, and like, it was Stephen A. Smith and Kendrick Perkins were involved on the side of the racists, basically being like, those are black guys who don't follow sports, who are basically like, it's a general thing that the Grizzlies cannot get free agents because the players are afraid of getting robbed in Memphis, is what they were saying.
Did you not say LeBron weighed in on that on a fucking golf course like 3 weeks ago, which on anti-Memphis didn't hit for me. And there's conspiracy theories about that, by the way, that like the NBA desperately wants to move the Grizzlies, even if it's just to Nashville. Because in the thing, LeBron's playing golf, and he said, like, just move them to Nashville, and that the NBA wants to move them out of Memphis. So they've got this thing going on with all these big voices talking about how they can't compete, they can't be there because Memphis sucks so bad, basically. It's a real bummer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just like the whole thing. Like, I'm wearing my Grizz T-shirt because I'm going to be talking about Tennessee Heat because we'll be talking about them today. But like, I just want to point out here, like as we wrap this up, the Speaker of the House in Alabama has called on the courts to overturn the 14th Amendment to get rid of the Equal Protection Clause, but also that would bring back the 3/5 compromise, which. People get the 3/5 compromise backwards in their heads. They seem to think it was like written to limit the humanity of black people when they couldn't vote anyway. That wasn't the point. The southern states wanted them to count a whole 100%. They wanted to be able to keep people enslaved but have them count towards voter representation.
Right, so they would have more congress people or whatever as a state.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was the North that said, no, you can't enslave people and have them count as voters, you fucking idiots.
Right.
So, like, they're like, oh, it should be zero. So the compromise was 3/5 to limit Southern states' political power.
Right. So if that brought back the 3/5 compromise, all these super black Southern states would lose congressional seats.
Right.
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 Yeah.
Not the Supreme Court would let that happen because they wouldn't let Republicans lose.
Right.
But if Democrats ever have any fucking power again and they don't fix the courts, I'm going to lose my motherfucking mind. Right.
Well, get ready to lose it, buddy, if they're even able to achieve the first part. But anyway, thank you guys for watching. That's it for now. Listen, go to TreyCrowder.com, please, and look at my upcoming dates and come see me on the road. I'm on the West Coast for the next few weeks, Portland, Seattle, San Francisco. Not in that order, though. San Francisco's next. And then a bunch of other places after that, Florida, the Carolinas, all at TreyCrowder.com. Also, if you were looking for a palate cleanser, you can check out producer Matt's project, audio exclusive. It's called Good Skews, Good People Doing Good Things. He does that on the podcast feed for this show, so check that out. And finally, if you want to support this show and get more of it, $5 a month on Patreon. We'll get you 2 full-length bonus episodes plus the ad-free editions of the main show. And some of those bonus episodes include Q&As. We take your burning questions and answer them. That's at weeklyskews.com/more, or just go to Patreon and search for my name. Either way, if you keep showing up on Skews Days, we will too. We'll see you next time. Love you. Bye.
Skew.
Woo.